So what about the PTO? And we heard there is new guidance. There was examples and guidance given back in 2016. Earlier this year in 2019, there were some new guidance, and I'll call the 2019 PEG. And that did focus a lot on what was an abstract idea. And in the life sciences area, I would say for the most part, that didn't really add much to what we were doing because the 2016 had some good examples and we used those. But just a few weeks ago, and we were all scrambling because we had turned in our presentations, new guidelines came out on October 17th. And so these presentations, I think, reflect the new guidelines. So I'll talk about that. But the new guidelines had some additional examples in the life sciences area as well as some other areas. And so we'll go through that. But this just shows basically what you can rely upon with respect to at least what the PTO is saying are the guidelines. So this is the USPTO guidance before 2019. So if you look, it was a two-step inquiry. And really, step two had two parts. So that's really a three-step inquiry. But the first step was simply, is the claim to a process, machine, manufacturer, or composition of matter? Of course, you're going to answer yes, unless your claim was to cold fusion or something like that, in which case you are done, patent ineligible. Or patent ineligible subject matter. So then you go to this claim, this step 2A, which is, are you claiming a judicial exception? And so what the new guidelines did was they expanded on what this meant. And so if you look here, the step 2A now itself became a prong one and a prong two. So if you ask me actually what this means is, a two-step inquiry really has five steps, and it gives you an idea what the patent office is trying to do with respect to the inquiry. It's trying to slice and dice things a little bit more finely. So if we look at prong one, prong one says, does the claim recite an abstract idea, law of nature, or natural phenomenon? And if the answer to that is yes, then you go to prong two. If the answer is no, you're good. So prong two is, and this is the new part, and this was helpful for the life sciences. Are there additional elements that integrate the judicial exception into a practical application? And the guidelines emphasize you do look at the claim as a whole. And the other thing is that, and Janice talked a little about this, lots of times on the diagnostic side, things were getting were found to be ineligible because they involved well-understood routine and conventional techniques. What the guidelines say is we don't get to that inquiry in this part yet. We still ask the question in prong two, does the claim have additional elements that integrate the judicial exception into a practical application? And I'll go through the examples and kind of show you how some of this works. So we had an example 29, and this is one back from 2016. And yes, this is a made-up thing. Julitis is not a real disease. But like I said, for those of you who just want to think something even more basic, just think heart disease. And the way you know you had julitis is you detected a protein called Jul1. Again, if it helps you to think cholesterol, that's an easy way to think about it. But so this is some of the examples or some of the claims that they showed in example 29. So claim one, you have a method of detecting Jul1 in a patient that's eligible. The steps were obtaining a biological sample and then detecting this protein in there. No natural law, quote, recited. So this was found to be eligible. Contrast that, and this next claim, too, shows you what it means for a natural law to be recited. Has the exact same two first steps, and then it adds a third step of diagnosing the patient with julitis. I don't know if you're a little bit like me, you find it a little bit strange that you start adding limitations and now you become ineligible, but that's where we are. So, and it's because the court, I mean, because the PTO has said that diagnosing the patient based on the levels of Juul 1 is in fact reciting the natural law. Now let's look at claim 5. So that's a method, and this is a lot like Vanda, a method of diagnosing and testing Juulitis in a patient. This is eligible, has the first three steps as the previous ineligible claim, but then we add a step of treating. And the treating is basically administering an effective amount of topical vitamin D to the diagnosed patient. It's okay that topical vitamin D is known. And then finally, you could have just a straight treating step, a treating claim, where you have just the one step of administering.